I'm glad to be here today. There's a lot to say in a few minutes, so I'll just jump right in. First thing I want to tell people is remind them that none of us, not one of us, not a single person here, is just an island, unimportant and somehow living our little lives in vain. But rather, each of us is part of a rich and complex whole that forms an archipelago, an endless chain that stretches back further than any of us can remember and goes into the future farther than we can see. I too, like you, each one of us, is a living link to people, to things, and to moments, both past and future. Each of us is a torchbearer, and at the same time, we're also a stepping stone. It means that we bring the dreams and aspirations and achievements of our ancestors forward, and someday those who come after us will build on what we leave them. For example, I think of my third great-grandfather, Heinrich Luick. He was actually here in Iowa before there was an Iowa. It was not yet a state, it was a territory. He came in the summer of 1846. He, together with those who followed him later, built homes and farms and towns and churches. They built schools and halls of government. I, like most of you, became a person in those churches and in those schools. And I, like most of you, grew up in a different America, one that some days seems like it's a world away. In those schools and churches, in those homes and farms of Iowa, I learned that each of us has the ability to make a difference, that each of us, if we take advantage of the opportunities, can actually move the world forward. We can do that if we accept the ability, and with every ability comes a responsibility. And it's that responsibility to move the world forward that leads me to run for U.S. Senate for Iowa. This whole week, there'll be a gauntlet of people, of candidates coming to this very platform. They'll be telling people why you should vote for them. They will make you big promises. They'll tell you grand stories. I'm not going to make you any big promises. The only promise I'll make is I won't make empty promises. What I am going to do today, though, is tell you why you shouldn't vote for me. For example, as starters, if you think that Iowa is in a good place, that our current trajectories will lead most of our state's people forward to a better place than today, that by 2046, Iowa's bicentennial, when our state turns 200 years old, then you shouldn't vote for me, because I don't believe the current trajectories are the best ones. I don't believe that everything is in a good place. If you think that everything in Iowa is just fine, that we should just carry on the way we are at the moment, then vote, for example, for the status quo, vote for the incumbent. Charles Grassley is a decent person, he's a competent person, and to borrow a phrase from Richard Nixon, he's not a crook. But he was elected when I was a junior in high school. I'm now a middle-aged guy with wrinkles in a belly. All my adult life, Charles Grassley's been in the U.S. Senate. You know, that's an awfully long time. I sort of embody his political career in the Senate. And if you don't want to vote for the incumbent, for Charles Grassley, you could also vote for the Democratic challenger, Patty Judge. One of the things I focus on in my campaign is where will Iowa be in 2046? Many of you will be here in Iowa in 2046. I'll be here. I'll be 83. If Senator Grassley is reelected, he'll be 89 at the end of that next term in 6 years. Patty Judge will be 79 in 6 years. If they were both here in 2046, Senator Grassley would be 113, Patty Judge would be 103. You see where I'm going. I'm not interested in just talking about the things that are in Iowa at the moment, the current problems, because current problems come, current problems go. But there are longer-term dynamics here at work. What will we be doing in 2046? What will be the quality of our air, the quality of our water? I'm very aware that when Heinrich Luick came here in 1846, Iowa had as good as no contaminated wells. Basically, the water from river to river was drinkable, it was clean, the soil was alive, the air was fresh. In the 170 years since then, since most of us arrived or our ancestors came, somehow that all changed. The water isn't the way it should be. The air isn't as fresh, and certainly the soil's not as alive as it was. One of the things I heard recently when someone talked about Iowa was that Iowa's all corn and hogs. That's what Iowa is. That's what Iowa does. I'd like to think that Iowa does more than just produce corn and hogs. We see the results of producing so much corn. I read in the paper this morning, I'm still one of those who reads the paper, actually, that we're having yet another bumper crop, but the prices haven't been this low for a long time. I hope that the other major candidates for this office will talk about the risk of overproduction. Do we need to have so many acres in corn? and what are the costs of overproduction? If we're looking at the phrase corn and hogs, you know, we raise 33 million hogs in Iowa. That's 11 hogs for every person in this fair, every man, woman, and child. That's a lot of hogs and a lot of hog waste. I would hope that our other main candidates for this office, Patty Judge, would talk about the quality of water. I doubt if she'll do that because it'd blow up in her face. We know that she supported efforts to block the Des Moines Water Works lawsuit against three counties upriver that were polluting the, it says, the Raccoon River. I doubt if Charles Grassley or Patty Judge will talk about the health of our soil because both of them, I think, advocate big industrial agriculture. I do not. We all three come from a farm, but I don't support this madness of every year, ever more yields out of ever more acres. The soil's getting tired. It's not the soil that was here when our ancestors came. Are we addressing that? I talk about true health and true wealth, and they can't be sustained. One example I would give is all of this corn that we produce, what becomes of it? Biodiesel, biofuel side, we know that subsidized corn makes cheap filler. I once had a friend from Germany come to visit. We went as a test to a convenience store. He began at one end of the aisle, and I kept a notebook and a record. He went down every single item in that convenience store shelf. There wasn't anything without high fructose corn syrup in it. One sees the results of this. So cheap corn isn't necessarily our best friend. We certainly know it exacts a high cost from our soil. I would hope that the two candidates would bring up other issues that have to do with our environment. For example, did you know, and if you don't believe me, you can Google it, that on December 31st, New Year's, from 2015 to 16, the North Pole was actually above freezing. It's a fact. Hardly anybody in America talked about it. You probably didn't even know it, but that the North Pole can be above freezing on December 31st is incredible. One should ask why. So while Patty Judge rightfully asked Charles Grassley why he's not reviewing Merrick Garland's nomination for the U.S. Supreme Court, there are other issues that are even larger that are more long-term. For example, we don't talk about the failure of the bee colonies. Let's talk about the birds and the bees. We need them. Do you remember that when we were kids, we'd drive across Iowa in the summer at night, and we get to where we were going, the grill was full of insects, dead butterflies, moths. Drive across Iowa in the evening these days, how many dead bugs are on the grill? It's important. In China, they actually have to pay hundreds of thousands of people to come and to artificially inseminate the plant life, the crops. In Iowa, we hope to have bees do that, but it's a good question. Is that going to be the case? Certainly, if there are no bees and other insects to eat, what about the birds? At least I have the impression there are ever few birds to be seen out in Iowa. Where are the red-winged blackbirds of my youth? Where are the mourning doves? We know, for example, that out in the countryside, it's legal to hunt mourning doves. That's one of the works of our governor, Governor Branstad. It's just one more proof that the NRA not only takes over our state house, but takes over our policies. I wonder if young people with their headphones and their iPads walking by will even notice if there are so few birds singing in the morning. In 1962, Rachel Carson wrote her famous book, Silent Spring, because she noticed there were fewer birds. I don't know if people today will even notice. These things I worry about. I also worry about and hope that our candidates will talk about the bur oak blight. These are the state trees of our state. They're dying as well. This is a consequence of our climate change. We know there are problems of invasive species. I read in the paper this morning that July was the hottest month, 15th month in a row, hottest month on record. Are these issues that our other candidates will talk about? I hope so. I promised you that I wouldn't just come up here and tell you why you should vote for me for a U.S. Senate from Iowa. I also would tell you why you shouldn't vote for me. Another reason why you shouldn't vote for me would be if you believe in voting straight ticket. First of all, I'm very difficult to put into a label. My conservative friends tell me I'm too liberal. My liberal friends tell me I'm too conservative. What I can tell you is that I believe in rather old-fashioned, quaint ideas like, for example, restoring the Sabbath. It doesn't matter, Jews could have their Sabbath on Saturdays, Muslims their Sabbaths on Fridays, but do we have a day of rest? What happens when every day of the week, every week of the year is shopping day? What would it take to have a day of rest when people actually have time to spend with their families at home? It's a good question. I don't know if the other candidates will raise it. Also, I would advocate that every part-time employee have at least a week off every year. Every full-time employee at least 2 weeks off a year as starters. We have such a busy culture. Everyone's running around, consuming, busy, being busy. I'm asking people to slow down. It's not really a, quote, liberal idea. It's more of a conservative idea. So am I a liberal? Am I a conservative? I don't know. It doesn't really care. I don't really care. It doesn't matter. I'm here to raise issues. That's what my whole candidacy is about. I want to raise issues the other candidates won't talk about. For example, you shouldn't vote for me if you're going to vote straight ticket, and I'll tell you why. Because we have people who vote straight ticket. They're voting for people they don't always like. They vote actually against the other candidate. In the olden days, I actually had grandparents who were staunch Republicans. The other grandparents were staunch Democrats. The parties of both sets of grandparents is gone. It's not the parties that we recognize. Both parties have become calcified dinosaurs that don't move the country forward, but rather get in the way and block progress. We know, for example, that the RNC blessed Karl Rove to come out in February of 2013 to Council Bluffs and ask how to get rid of Steve King. I'm no fan of Steve King's either, but it's not Karl Rove's business. Our own Senator Grassley is blocking still Merrick Garland's nomination process for the Supreme Court, in large part out of loyalty to the party over what the people want. The DNC, we know in the last couple weeks, during the Democratic Convention, the DNC had its own share of shenanigans when it was sidelining Bernie Sanders. So we know that both parties, their first priority is to keep their candidates always out front at whatever cost. This doesn't really serve the country very well. One of the things that people often say is that, yes, we need to change the system, but few people are willing to do what it would take to change it. I'm saying that each one of us could do something. I'm running for office because I'm unbought and I'm unbossed, and I'm going to do what I think is right. I don't have loyalties to some party breathing down my neck. I want to ask questions that are hard-reaching and future-oriented. I'm not interested in just one election cycle. I am interested in pushing for term limits. Who should be in office in any one office more than 12 years? I've been told, well, if the people keep returning the candidate to office, he must be doing a good job. Maybe, but maybe it's also true he just has friends with deep pockets. I have no friends with deep pockets. I have friends, and I have friends who care a great deal, as do I. But they're not people who would put me in at any cost. If you want favors done, don't come to me. Don't vote for me because I'm not going to do favors for the NRA or for Monsanto or the Farm Bureau. I'm more interested in how the ordinary people are living. What are their problems? What are their concerns? And how can we move them forward? One of the things that concerns me is that when our people got in those ships in Europe, they went to Le Havre, they went to Liverpool, they went to Hamburg, and they set sail for the New World. They were leaving aristocracies behind. We've developed in this country a kind of aristocracy. It's not based on titles, not from and at or sir and lady, but rather aristocracy of money. I would say we probably don't need any more Kennedys. We don't need any more Bush dynasties. We also don't need any more Clintons, and we don't need any more Grassley clans. I can tell you what I noticed during the Democratic Convention. Bill Clinton sat there the whole time like a Cheshire cat, but so was Princess Chelsea always in the background. So we've got this cultural rise in this country that we have these handfuls of families. Out of 330 million Americans, there seems to be only six families able to produce some of our major candidates. Is this really what we want in the future? Some have said that Senator Grassley is holding his chair for his grandson, Patrick. Hope that's not true. In this country, we shouldn't be run by aristocracies. We should be run by people. And that's the other thing I want to say before my time is up, is that if you think we have a democracy, you might think twice about that. I can tell you there are institutionalized ways to keep independent candidates out of the race. I'm eager to join Senator Grassley and Patty Judge on the debate stage for Iowa Public Radio's Iowa Public TV's program this fall. I'm told that one of the criteria is you have to be vetted by the two Iowa Secretary of State recognized parties. You know, those parties are only two, the Democratic and Republican. It means that if you're not one of those parties, you don't really have a chance of being in the debate. There are other ways that independents are kept muzzled out of the system. Even public radio forgets to mention you that you're running for office. Newspapers will not mention you until you've passed in your petitions. So we've got a system that doesn't have access to everybody. And what's really interesting is that people just sort of drift away, and they don't even realize they're dropping out of the system. They don't care. They stay away from the polls, and we need people to go out and vote. We need people to go out and express an opinion. But even more than that, more than just voting, voting is a simple passive act. We need people to be active. We need people to run for office. We need real people, not just career politicians. We need people who don't have millions of dollars. We need to put pressure on people, for example, not to have these endless campaigns. We shouldn't have campaigns of a year and a half. It's too long, and only the wealthy or well-financed can afford those long campaigns. Think about it. Ordinary people like us, like waitresses and farmers and truck drivers and teachers and others who are just ordinary citizens, who could finance such a campaign as part of the system? The only ones left who can really run are those who either have a lot of money or who can attract it. It seems that Patty Judge, for example, has already raised over $250,000. I don't think she had a cookie sale. She wasn't out washing cars. Where does the money come from for our campaigns? Who's financing these campaigns? And what are the favors they want to return? So I'm glad that I could bring you today a few ideas that aren't sanctioned by the Democrats or Republicans. I'll be here a little bit longer. You're welcome to come up and grab a brochure. The website that has more of the ideas that I'm running on is heartlandparties.us. That's www.heartlandparties.us. Again, I encourage you to be informed and take a risk and risk supporting a non-traditional Democratic Republican candidate. Thank you very much.